this year I'm just excited because I get to play with one of my best friends, bro. Like, I've known Zach Brown, bro, for 10 plus years. And it's crazy because we talked about this, you know, wanting to play together. You know, it's crazy because the year I left Falco, he joined Falco, and I joined the team that he left in Hamburg. Yeah, in Hamburg, bro. So now, like, we get to reconnect, bro, and be on the same team again. But I'm so excited to get to play with him again. And, you know, you guys know he suffered an injury his last year with Falco. And so I get to be there and help him kind of get back into the swing of things.
Pocsív, ezt a kosarast, a golomán.
De nekem van egyébként egy jó kis összeesküvés elméletem erről az egészről.
Valaki megvásárolja az Euroliga címet, valaki meg megnyeri.
Ezt nem akartam, ezt így kimond.
Nem menő Dubájból képet feltölteni az Instagramra.
Forintot nem költöttél a Netflixre, még most van.
Welcome everybody to the newest episode of Neked Elmondom podcast. As you guys can hear, this is our first official English episode and our first official non-Hungarian guest, Marvin Clark Jr., who is joining Falco Kaczy Szombathely this season, rejoining, we can say, who is going to play in the Hungarian League and also, of course, in the Champions League. So, excited about this episode. Welcome, Marvin. Thank you for accepting our invitation.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you again for accepting our invitation. It's a pleasure to have you here. And yeah, make sure to follow us on all channels. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, which is now X, YouTube, and yeah, you can also follow us on Patreon. So what is the agenda going to look like? First of all, we are going to talk about Marvin's background, his passion for basketball, how is it playing in basketball in the US compared to the European culture, and also about Falco and this year's goals. So apart from that, we are going to talk about the Olympics. So I think basically this is what we want to cover today. So welcome to the studio here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we all right, but before we dive into everything, yeah. You know, we're going to go through whatever what we just talked about. We always start with this warm-up question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to throw a dinner party or be able to invite three people, alive or dead, to the dinner, it could be man, woman, family, celebrities, Rihanna, whoever you want to invite, who would those three people be?
That's a great question. Great question. I think out of the three people, if I was to invite them to dinner, I'd have to say my first choice would be John F. Kennedy.
Okay.
My second choice would probably be Brian, probably LeBron James.
Okay, LeBron.
And then, not to be sentimental, but my final choice would probably be my pops.
Okay. Yeah.
For sure.
That's a good group. Yeah, we had all kinds of names already in the past. So yeah, John F. Kennedy. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I'll be diving in the rabbit hole, bro. When it comes to conspiracies. And he's just an interesting president, bro. Where a lot changed about the world after his assassination, and it's still something that my country is still. Hasn't released the full files to, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah,
is it his cousin who is running, or who is the other guy?
Oh, I believe that's his nephew.
Nephew, okay.
Yeah,
I believe that's his nephew.
Yeah,
and it's so strange with that family, bro. Like John F. Kennedy, his brother Robert, like with both of them, bro, like the things that they were trying to do with the country, and as far as like not seeing color, as far as not seeing people for, you know, race, seeing people who they are. Like you got JFK, who was big in civil rights, who was, you know, he was linking up with MLK. He was trying to help change things. And then his, like, years down the line, his brother was doing the same, but he was doing it with the Latino community. So it's just crazy to me that they both get taken out. For trying to do things with leading the country.
So you would ask him what happened, or
I would ask him about the 60s in general, like, because I want to say he got assassinated in 63, but I would just ask him about the 60s in general, man. It was just a weird time, a tumultuous time. And I mean, for somebody of that stature to forget what everybody else was taught and how everybody else, you know, was thinking and try to go against the grain, I would just like to have a conversation with him and see what, you know, what he was really about.
Great choice.
Yeah, great dinner party. Yeah, Americans are big on assassinations, lately. Oh man. But yeah, and
that's also a long story. Why? How it happened? How could it happen? But we don't dig in.
Yeah, we don't want to fall down that rabbit hole.
But it's definitely a rabbit hole. Let's just leave it at that. It's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I swear.
And then LeBron. Yeah, we're gonna talk about the Olympics too a little bit, but also a very good choice. I remember your LeBron guy for sure.
Yeah, man. I just think he's just, you know, oh no, LeBron is different. He's a blueprint, bro. Like, to leave high school, go straight to the league, bro, have millions of dollars thrown at you, supposed to be the guy, live up to the expectations, never get in trouble, stick with your high school sweetheart, who is his wife, Savannah, raise a beautiful family. Like, I would just like to just have a conversation with him, bro. He's different.
For sure. And he's very just overall, he just has all the answers, I feel like, you know? Like, whenever I just watch interviews, the way he speaks, the whole mind that he has outside of the court too is just very special, which I think allowed him to be this great. Like, you have to have that kind of intelligence, you know?
That mindset, like, you know, he comes from a single-parent background, bro. So, like, to have that mindset, you know, like, it's very impressive.
Yeah.
Most people, you know, that don't have that grow up with no dad, and that, you know, it's a tough little process, and that's why I would definitely invite him to dinner, because I grew up kind of in a similar way he did, you know. Single parent. I come from a single parent family. You know, my mom. I'm the oldest of six kids. But you know, for him to be where he is with just one parent and never get in trouble, I just think that's very impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I also listened to your episode with Falco, so where you mentioned this. So I tried to learn some cool stuff about you. So yeah,
I appreciate it. Man. Definitely tough. Definitely tough. But you know, like we was talking about with mindset, man. I don't know. Since I was young, I give credit to my mom. But since I was young, I just always like decided to go against what everything that I grew up seeing. You know. Instead of, like, most people, bro, when they grow up in an environment, they become the environment. And with me, I was looking at that, and I was like, I don't want to be that. I want to go further than that. I can see further than what, I guess, my preferred destiny in my community
was. Yeah.
But it's a rare mindset. It's really hard. If you're in a situation like that, it's really hard to look outside of that.
And so is this... sports help you a lot with that, though. I'm assuming here, and you, bro, if I'm not mistaken, using my memory here, you used to play football too. Pretty
good football, huh? That was my first love, bro. Football was my first love.
Yeah,
I didn't pick up a basketball until I was 14, bro.
14.
Like I was playing football. Football was like it for me. It was just like so much physicality. I got to take my anger out. I think really what it was, I was just taking out a lot of anger, and releasing it in a good way, I guess, if you could say.
No, yeah, for sure.
But it was fun. But you know, with playing football, you get hurt a lot, and I feel like I got out right at the right time. I stopped playing my sophomore year, and then I started playing basketball. And with basketball, I don't know. I was really raw at first. I really wasn't skilled. I was just like I had very good genes, athlete. I was a very good athlete. I couldn't do a step back without traveling. Like, I couldn't do.
Yeah.
Bro, it was so much. Hey, Adizi, a lot of nights in that gym, bro. Crying, watching everybody else being able to do stuff. I can't do it. But I just stuck with it, bro. And then, like, people that, like, were better than me or, like, I started just outpacing them and getting better and getting better. And then I started getting college offers. And I was like, you know what? I think basketball is for me, for sure.
This could be it. Yeah. Yeah.
But you decided to pursue basketball at 14, right?
But yeah.
It's really late. Yeah.
That's definitely pretty late. We call that a late bloomer, man. We definitely call that a late bloomer.
And so would you say you did it because of injuries? I mean, that's the injury issue?
Yeah, I was getting injured, but I had seen what, like, the high risk, you know, and mentally as well. Like, I don't know, I was just thinking, like, man, I want to be able to walk normally. I want to be able to think for myself. So,
yeah.
I don't know, I feel like I made the right decision.
No, for sure. And I even think about this now with basketball, you know, like the fact that, okay, we're putting our bodies through a lot. And just like, okay, when I'm 50, am I going to be able to, like, use my knees or... And football is just in a different world, you know? Like, is my brain going to be good when I'm 45, or am I going
to
have CTE?
Will I be able to talk? Will I be able to say good morning?
Exactly.
But I think, like, it is funny that you say that about basketball too, bro, because I think, like, people mistake basketball for, like, a sweet sport when it's really physical. Like, there is no... That's the difference. Like, in basketball, bro, we're constantly playing. It's constant contact, constant running. In football, you get a break. You get to say hype, run that play, and then stop, then do it all over again. So with basketball, I feel like football is a lot more brutal. But I think basketball is one of the more physical sports, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
But when it comes to college, I think I heard about that some people are still pursuing two different sports. I mean, I cannot mention a player like that, but I heard that you can also play basketball and maybe do some athletic things. I mean, run or do something like that. When did you decide? You went to college and just played basketball there, right?
Yeah, I went and played basketball. It's funny though, because a lot of people wanted me to try to play football
at the same time.
Like,
in college?
But man, once you know, Gigi knows this. He understands this. When you go to one of those top programs that have that prestige, that blue blood, like, you know, UCLA, Michigan State is a Nike elite school, one of very few. And when I got there, it was like, nah, I gotta dedicate everything to this basketball thing. And that's when I realized this is like a job. Like, you got, I know Gigi, no, you got individuals, you got weights, you got, and this is me and DJ, like, it's so much better now because they're getting paid and they have way more power now. But when we were playing, it was like, it was their way or the highway. Like, you know, we only supposed to practice a certain amount of hours a week. You know, coaches looking around for compliance, making sure compliance ain't sneaking in the gym. Like, it was a job, bro, a real job. So I was like, nah, I don't think I'll be able to juggle football and basketball. No way.
Yeah. Did Ant do it? Anthony Edwards played both?
Yeah, not, bro.
In college?
Yeah, bro. I don't know if he did it, but I do have a friend, Ishmael Wainwright. He signed to play to Haifa Tel Aviv. He went to Baylor and he played football and basketball. Draymond Green, he played a little bit of football and basketball. So.
But now we have this guy who's in the Olympics. But he's in the Olympics, I don't remember the name. Used to play for Houston and he was doing the beach volleyball stuff. I don't remember the name. And he's now competing at the Olympics as a beach volleyball player. Yeah.
I believe it. You know, as far as, I mean, people might, some football players might get mad that I say this, but I feel like basketball players, bro, we really the best athletes in the world. I ain't even gonna lie to you. Like,
it's going to be a topic like this also. Yeah.
with the cross training, bro, with all the cross training we gotta do, gotta make sure our footwork is right. Gotta put that little ball in the hole. You gotta use your brain at the same time. Gotta do it's a lot of this all at once. Yeah, but nah, like I was saying, as far as with basketball, with volleyball, I mean, I feel like of course you gotta learn. If you wanna play at a high level, you gotta learn the game and be able to play. But I mean, Gigi would be crazy on that front line.
He would be too slow. Too slow for
I
that.
I could. If I switch
No.
I usually joke a lot on this podcast. This one, 100% serious. I switch now to volleyball, Olympics, easy.
Beach volleyball or snow volleyball?
Either.
Which one?
It depends. I mean, it depends. If I'm going for the shorties, I'm playing beach. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm out there on the beach.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's funny because like I play with friends sometimes here back home. Like they have little places you can play, and people be setting me up. I'll be spite. Like Gigi could make that transition seamlessly, man. Like he's, you know, one of the most impressive teammates that I've had. To see, be able to move and how nimble he is at 7 foot and how coordinated he is, he could definitely do it easily.
I bet he not. Yeah, but going through college and then after you had to decide, or did you go to the draft lottery or how was it for you? So you went to college and then you were there for 4 years, I suppose. And then you went for the draft lottery or how was that? How was your current situation back then?
No. So I was in college for 5 years. I went to Michigan State for 2 years and then I transferred. And you know, back then when we were in school, you couldn't just hop in the portal and play the next year. So I had to sit out a year. And then I transferred to St. John's and I was there for 3 years. I had a redshirt year and then I played for 2 years. And then coming out of college, I only worked out for 2-3 teams, man. I worked out for the Heat. I had some bump with the Nets. But with the Heat, I had a really good workout. Looking back on it, man, I'll be thinking about it a lot, you know, seeing the undrafted talent that they have developed and those guys have made some money. They, you know, were interested in me and wanted me, you know, they were kind of asking if how do I feel about the G League. And I don't know, at the time from talking to some of my like older guys like from college that I had played with, they had told me that they felt like they had wasted some of their time in the G League. Because if you're not on an exhibit team or a two-way contract, you're kind of just a lab rat in a sense. And I felt like I could go to Europe, learn the game, learn more about the game, experience different cultures, see things that I always like grew up reading about or seeing on TV. And I don't know, for me, that experience for me was just more worth it.
Yeah, that's interesting because a lot of guys don't have that mindset right out of college. You know, a lot of guys want to, I was like this too. I gave it 1 year. I was in the G for 1 year that I want to give it, you know, I gave it 4 years. Let me just give it one more to see. Maybe I get a 10-day. Maybe I get something. And, you know, a lot of guys don't have that. Okay, I'm ready. Let's just take me wherever I can make more money. Let me just learn about the European game. And all a lot of guys don't have this mentality. But, yeah, I also think that it definitely worked out for you the right way because, you know, you had a very successful career so far in Europe. But you played, man, everywhere, huh?
Yeah, I've been a journeyman, bro, and It's been fun. It's been special. You know, I think what like helped shape my mindset, G, was like, I don't know if you had a foreign trip, but, at Michigan State, we had a foreign trip and we went to Italy. And I was probably about 19, 20 at the time, but, bro, when I got off that plane, bro, G, it felt like the energy just different. Like from growing up and living in America my whole life to hopping on the plane, touching down in Italy. Italian food is my favorite. I love art, you know, so getting to see the Sistine Chapel, getting to see these things, going out, enjoying life, like not having to watch over my back everything I do. It, like, I just fell in love with that. So, like, that alone made it to where I was like, yeah, overseas, I can, yeah, I'm not thinking twice about it. You know, a lot of American guys, they usually struggle with that because getting on that plane ain't easy, bro. Getting on that plane and being thousands of miles away from your family and trying to learn a new culture, it ain't easy. But for me, I'm just like, I've always been a people person, bro. I've always been somebody that's, you know, trying to connect with people. And I mean, everywhere I've been thankful to make friends and actually embrace the culture and embrace people. And it's been fulfilling for me.
Yeah. You got a favorite spot so far? As far as just life, yeah. let's not get into basketball. Just like, yeah, a city, a country, some favorite place where you
win. Man, I'm about to say, my rookie year, bro, I started in Belgium. I started in Belgium and I played in a city called Mechelen. And it's about 2 hour drive from Amsterdam. And Amsterdam is easily one of my favorite cities in the world. I was making that trip a lot. I was making that trip a lot. Amsterdam for sure. Bro, even when coming to Falco, bro, I didn't know a ton about Budapest. Mm. But, hey,
nice.
Budapest, easily one of my favorite cities.
Yeah.
I was definitely making trips up there because you already know as far as Samate is. It's smaller and there's not a ton to do as far as like compared to Budapest.
Of course.
And then finally, I'd probably say my last favorite one would probably be Portugal. Was fun, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. I lived in Porto and Lisbon, and both of them have like a different vibe, a different energy to them, but very fun. I had a blast. Had a blast in Lisbon, so definitely. Lisbon and Porto are definitely two of my favorite cities as well.
Yeah. I've never been to Portugal, actually, but I heard it's amazing. Yeah.
Hey, whenever you get a chance, make sure y'all make that trip.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so you're coming back to Falco next year. And to me, I think in Hungarian basketball terms, it feels like that this team is going to be, I don't know, it feels like the Avengers are reuniting or something like that, because you will have so many great talents in one team. Benny, Zozo, you, Zach Brown, Popovich, Wimpy, who is a new guy also. So I think 10 great and talented people in one team. I think you can also go for the title maybe in the Champions League. What is your view on that?
Man, I'm first and foremost, bro, I'm so excited, man. Definitely, as far as being a pro, bro, one of my most challenging but most fulfilling, because I was able to compete for a championship, was with Falco, bro. You know,
yeah, I remember, yeah.
That was like the first really good team that I played on as a pro. Because Gigi knows, you know, sometimes when you start at a lower or a bad team, and you're supposed to be the guy and get all the shots. And so I had did that for 2 years, one in Belgium, one in France. But then making that jump Champions League, that was my first European competition. So getting there, and also, you know, the challenging part of it was trying to mesh with a bunch of good guys. And, you know, Gigi could tell you it wasn't the easiest thing, but I just come from a background, you know, for a program that I play for here, where, you know, you play defense and you play basketball the right way. So having that background helped me fit in and figure it out, and we ended up winning the championship. I feel like we could have went further in Champions League, but all of all, I feel like we had a really good year and a really good season. And this year, I'm just excited because I get to play with one of my best friends, bro. Like, I've known Zach Brown, bro, for 10-plus years. And it's crazy because we talked about this, you know, wanting to play together. You know, it's crazy because the year I left Falco, he joined Falco, and I joined the team that he left in Hamburg.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Hamburg, bro. So now, like, we get to reconnect, bro, and be on the same team again. We played together at prep school, Sunrise Christian Academy. You know, imagine ZB at the point, bro.
Yeah.
me at the three, like, bro, it was. Yeah. But I'm so excited to get to play with him again, and you know, you guys know he suffered an injury his last year with Falco, and so I get to be there and help him kind of get back into the swing of things. And,
yeah, for sure.
And and he just had his son. Congratulations to him. He just had his son, so I get to meet nephew. You know, I'm geek.
Yeah, that's nice. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you guys were friends like that. But yeah, that's definitely
Good
for the team.
Yeah, one the chemistry will also be there.
Because yeah, I also just like Levi said. I also think that this year the signings of Falco were make a lot of sense. Now I'm not gonna make predictions, but
yeah,
the chemistry is for sure gonna be good because you know a lot of guys know each other already. I know Popovich, I play with him, the five man, and I really like his game also. I think he's going to fit well. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good chance for you guys to make it far in the Champions League. Just like
and I think it's also,
we were back there.
It's also rare that the people who just come here for a year, they come back to Hungarian team. And I think it's also great that this means that the chemistry is good. You can fit in, and yeah, that's great to see.
Yeah, man. As far as the organization goes, man, that's the first club as a pro that I played for where like basketball is everything. You know, fans with them microphones going crazy, jumping around. Like I had never really seen that live. You know, to that scale. You know, it's different in America. Yeah. Like in America, yeah, we got big arenas, but fans ain't in the stands lighting flares, throwing what they do in the Champions League game, G, when we scored, they throw the what, like, bro, like,
it's different culture, for sure.
But it's love, though, and it just makes you, you know, embrace the game even more, and it makes you want to compete for people that want to support you that much, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get back. It's actually crazy because I, you know, Milos wanted me to stay and come back for that second year, but when Hamburg made that offer, you know, I was like, okay, I'm taking a step, Euro Cup. I'm thinking take a step, Euro Cup, get a chance to go to Euro League. Obviously, it didn't work out that way, but I'm excited to be back playing Champions League, be back where a place where I'm comfortable, where I know, you know, I know the coach, I know Benny, I know Zozo. We already have that rapport, that relationship. And I get to really hit the ground running, you know, and I'm excited, man. I'm truly excited.
For sure.
Yeah, I think you will have an Italian team, one Lithuanian and one Polish.
Yes, exactly.
So Benny knows everything about the Lithuanian and also the Polish team. You just have to find out what is the Italian team is doing. So
Reggio.
Yeah, Reggio, yeah. You are good to go.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely the home games, as you remember, the home games are always, no matter who the opponent is, the home games are always Falco's favorite. But hopefully, yeah, you guys can make it far. I'm really rooting for y'all, and also, yeah, it's gonna be good for you because you know you already know how to get to Budapest easily. You know, you just hop in the car.
Hey, right there. Hey, in Vienna, in the other direction.
True.
Somebody is in the middle. Yeah, definitely. Gigi mentioned that you are into rapping and this music stuff. How is it? How is it on your side?
A little rapping, a little singing, man. For me, man, it's just therapeutic, bro. Like for me, you know, I've always been into music. Like, before I did any sports, bro, I was in band, bro. In fifth grade, I was in band, bro, from fifth grade to eighth grade. Eighth grade was my final year of it. I was in percussion, you know, which translates to beats and, you know, was always fond of it, man. So I've always had a love for music and not even just rap or hip hop, bro. Like my mom is half white. So I have a diverse family, bro. So I grew up listening to everything, bro.
Yeah.
From classic rock, from rock country. I love music and, making music is just a chance for me to outlet, man. It's a chance for me to just let things go, get things off my chest. And, As I've been going, I've been getting better, and people actually support it, bro. And I just want to keep doing it, keep having fun with it, and you know, I ain't Drake or nothing, but
yeah,
but it's fun to do, and it's a skill that you can sharpen over time, and it's something that you can do when the ball stops bouncing. I can still get in that lab and have some fun with some music, you know, even if it's just for me, like so. So I've been having fun with it. I'll definitely this year I'll definitely make sure that I tell my boy David, you know, put some of them songs on the playlist, man.
Dude, oh yeah, you got a guy. You found a guy in Budapest, huh? That you got. Yeah, I forgot about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to reconnect with him. But also, I'm going to come this year, though. I'm probably going to come with my own equipment, bro. I'm going to come with my own laptop, own mic, and I've been able to meet people that are engineers that know how to mix and master my vocals. So yeah. I think this year I'm just going to record and then send it off to people and have them kind of fix it up for me. But
okay.
Yeah, man, music is it's an outlet, man. It's just a way to get things off your chest, a way to talk, you know, it's therapeutic.
But yeah, that's really interesting you said that, because I have some friends also who are into rap music and stuff like that, not on any high level, but it's also that it's just like just letting it out, you know, whatever it's in your mind, it's in your heart. It's very important to, just from a psychology standpoint,
mm-hmm.
to just let it out in whichever way. So it's very good that you found this. So it also goes back to the as you said, when you were playing football, how you were taking out your anger. This is just another way to take out whatever energy you have. It could be anger, it could be love, it could be whatever it is, just to, you know, to share it and just to give it out. It's very, very, it could be really therapeutic for sure.
Yeah, just to, you know, instead of harboring things, and you know, I used to be growing up, man, I used to harbor so many things and internalize so many things, and that's not healthy, bro. So once I like picked up a pad and just started writing, that was a way for, that was the start of it for me to get things off my chest. And then, my brother got arrested, after my rookie year. And, you know, he's like my shadow growing up. And, you know, I was kind of dealing with that. And the best way for me to let it out, instead of letting it out in a negative way, was to get behind the mic and just cry my heart out, man. So
yeah,
it's definitely just a way to, just like Gigi said, man, to put a positive twist on whatever energy or whatever feeling you feel.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think we almost went through all the topics we wanted to ask you, and our last huge topic is the Olympics, which is currently happening, which is really hot right now, not just in terms of basketball, but also the whole opening ceremony. My first question is about that. What are your views, and what is the impression of that?
Hey, Le Captain America. Hey, Le Captain America. My boy was looking like George Washington on that boat. Hold that,
for sure.
Hold that flag. It was definitely hilarious, but also like on a more serious note, it was dope to see, you know, a man of color, you know, bear that flag.
This was the first one, I think, no?
You know, represent our country.
It was the first one when a man of color did that in flag bearer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. First, you know, so I think, you know, just for the younger generation, for, you know, the kids that are watching, I think that's a huge step for our country, bro. Honestly, I think that's a big step, especially with, you know, the past, I would say, you know, the past decade has been kind of interesting as far as police brutality goes, as far as, you know, Trump in and out of office and tensions very high. I think that's something that's very positive, you know, a very, very positive spin on it, and that'll, you know, show kids for the future that, hey man, you know, you can bear that flag, so you could represent your country, and I think that part of it was pretty dope.
Yeah, and I think it was also like, in today's world, there's a lot of, and in this opening ceremony too, there was a lot of things that people are trying to force on each other, but this one is just No, nobody can say anything. Like, he deserves it. He has to be the one that carried us that flag. So mm-hmm. this was just like very, very, very good to see also. But my question is, and I might be out of the loop a little bit. What was Snoop Dogg doing there? Why was he
bro,
there? I, just bro, like an ambassador for the Olympics?
Something like that, I think, yeah. Bro, ambassador.
Snoop is everywhere, bro. Like,
Snoop is everywhere. I get that.
Bro, I was shocked, though. Like, when I seen the camera pan him, I'm like, but, hey, Snoop, hey, more power to him, bro. Snoop is, I don't know. Snoop is, hey, Snoop yeah. is probably another person. He's probably another person that I would have to add to that dinner list, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What he's done with rap and outside of rap, bro, he's the most known rapper ever, for sure.
You think so?
He has to be. Mm. I don't think it's too. I would be shocked if, like, you. I think you would be able. I don't know. Just from. I mean, even. Gee, you remember when. What was this? I think we were playing. We were playing in France, bro.
Okay. What's Strasbourg. Strasbourg. What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we were in those taxis, and one of the drivers, bro, was playing Tupac, like, but it was like some Snoop on there, and I was like, dang, like this is, like,
yeah.
You know, this is old music, but it's still touching people and people from all over. And Snoop is one of those, bro. Like, where I think if you say Snoop Dogg, Snoop Doggy Dogg, I feel like a lot of people would know who that is.
No, for sure, for sure. I don't know about. Most known, but for sure, and yeah. Really, he's everywhere. Literally,
yeah, he's still there. He was shown in the TV today. Oh. I think it was Nadal versus Djokovic.
Yeah, yeah, he was at the game.
He was with Billie Jean, the tennis legend. So yeah, he's still there.
he's everywhere, bro. He's pretty funny. I don't know if you guys have ever seen him do the commentation and yeah, when he commentates on things, bro. No, it's hilarious. It's a good time.
But yeah, and then the Olympics, I have this, so the first game, when we're recording this episode right now, we're one game in, USA beat Serbia pretty easily, and by the time this will come out, maybe a couple games will go down, but what do we think? Mm-hmm. We think it's going to be a cakewalk, or somebody's going to be catching up to them?
Mm, no way.
Man,
it's too easy for them.
Never. I mean, shots went in. That's just what
KD,
that was.
KD,
but
KD, it was KD.
KD ain't missed, bro. Brown is playing at a high level. Steph playing at a high level. Like, I think we have a good team, bro. But I mean, now more than ever, bro. Like there is no just USA, bro. Like the world has caught up, bro. There are more elite basketball players all around the world now than there were in 1992, and that's just
sure.
a fact.
For
so,
sure.
I'm never going to say it's going to be a cakewalk. I think we definitely have a lot of talent, but as you know, G, you guys, man, the difference is we kind of just put a lot of talent together, the best players. You guys have started off young and you play for your country from young. You guys have elite years worth of chemistry. And I think, you know, there's going to be some games where that ball's not going through that net and that chemistry is going to be everything. And We I believe we definitely will be tested. You know, South Sudan tested us for sure. I know that's an exhibition, but hey.
Yeah, they almost lose. So. This is one point game.
I think, especially watching this game, I still think I took the USA to win it. I rolled the dice on that one. But I still take them. But now I have this feeling. So remember when Noah Lyles said the whole NBA is not the world championship shit. And I was on this podcast, we talked about this and we were like, no, they are the champions. They are the world champions. And now I'm starting to think that now seeing that USA lost the past two World Cups. So let's say somehow they don't make this, they don't win this Olympics. Does the NBA has to start thinking about, okay, now we might have to think about this world championship title when we talk about the NBA winner.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely would give credence to that, bro. Like, I think they would definitely have to think about it. I think even that phrase, world champions, is just, I mean, bro, my country, bro, we are arrogant MFers. We are some arrogant MFers, bro. Like,
You have to have that mindset to be in that position where you are right now, I think. That's the base, man.
You definitely got to have that mindset. But at the same time, man, it's in the, like Gigi said, in the previous World Cups, that mindset, that confidence, it ain't worked out. It takes more than that.
Yeah, but you can say that those 12 people who were there were not the best one, but this time they're with the best 12 people right now.
Yeah, I definitely got us winning it, but to think that it would just be a cakewalk, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that, okay, if the USA loses this Olympics, then we cannot say world title. I'm just saying maybe we have to start
thinking about it
a little bit. Just have a conversation. Whoever has to have the conversation. Because I don't know if you saw, but I know, Levy, we talked about this, that Ataman, the coach of Panathinaikos, called them out and said, okay, Boston, if you want to be the world title, come to fucking Greece and play us. So, like, I'm just saying, maybe somebody has to have the conversation. And then if it keeps its state, I'm not going to be criticizing it, because I still agree that NBA is the best league, best players, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just saying, it's there's some pressure here for NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought that eventually, I think, if you view this from a marketing perspective, I think the league will arrive to a point where they have to involve European teams, Chinese team, Australian teams to go on a wider range. I mean, in terms of viewers from all over the world. So we will arrive to a point where they have to reorganize maybe the structure, that who wins the NBA title, then they have to play against the EuroLeague winner and the Australian League winner. So I think that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think that's where it's headed. You know, the amount of NBA players that are all around the world, it has increased. You know, and unfortunately, money rules all. So capitalism is going, wherever the money is going to be, the NBA is going to find it.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the NFL, but you know, the NFL plays games over in Europe now.
Yeah.
So I think eventually it'll get to where it already has. You know, some NBA teams go and play NBA teams. You know, Luka, when he was playing with Real Madrid, he was playing against OKC. He played against Russell. He was like, I think 16, 17 or something, or 19, 18,
sure.
Something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think that's the next step, man, is definitely getting some EuroLeague teams in that mix.
Yeah. Somehow. Just find a way.
Yeah, but you can also see that in the Olympics right now, that all matches are full. I mean, there's no empty seat.
No. And I mean, honestly, bro, I don't know what you guys think, but I think, like, making some changes to where, like, we have a universal rules, I think that'll come in the future. You know, they say in the NBA, guys don't play defense for the playoffs, but I think a simple rule fix that to add from the FIBA game to the NBA game would be the, you can knock the ball out the rim. I think if they were to add that, I think that would add, you know, a little different element, a little more defensive. You know, you add these athletic, freakish 7-foot guys.
It's another skill, bro, that some people will have, some people don't. My thing is that the NBA, the rules of the NBA and how it's a different game, also has its beauty, you know?
Just it would be tough.
The European game has its beauty.
Yeah.
So, you, if you're going to combine both, I don't know if that's a. I love both games, man. I love both. I love them both. I don't want to lose any of them. You know, that's why it's hard, because I also understand how playing with the FIBA,
you don't have to move.
NBA is a different game, and anybody can say anything. It's you can stand in the middle of the paint if you want for more than 3 seconds. And, no. Yeah.
But you can see also in football, at the end of the year, they are meeting. I mean, for one cup, who wins the Champions League? In most cases, it is Real Madrid.
Okay.
And they're coming together, playing for one title.
Yeah.
So I think it's not a bad idea to do that in basketball also. Because in I think in almost all other sports we do that. Tennis, all over the world, they're coming together. Volleyball, yeah, I mean, in every other sport except basketball.
I think that's where it's headed. I think we'll see. I don't know, but I think in our lifetime we might see some things change for sure.
I was looking at the schedule of the Olympics and the qualifications of the groups and stuff. And now I think, okay, now that Serbia is done for the US, it's advancing. They're gonna advance. But then who's gonna be able to catch him then? I would say Canada and Australia are the two other big yeah. names that could
Germany is also good. Problems. Germany is really good.
Germany.
They are.
Yeah, Germany is good, and Dennis Schroeder always has a bone to pick. He playing against Team USA, he gets it cooking. But I definitely, I think
and Dennis Schroeder.
I think Canada. I think
whenever he puts the.
Yeah, I think Canada, bro, is. I think it's, yeah, I think they got a lot of dogs. They got a lot of dogs. What were you saying, bro?
For sure. That whenever Dennis Schroeder puts the Germany jersey on, it's a different player. You know, it's he knows NBA, he knows the FIBA, he's very good for Germany.
Yeah, you don't wait for
him. Exact opposite as Micić. You know, Serbian point guard Micić. Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. Amazing player, EuroLeague MVP. Whenever he puts Serbia on, terrible.
Man.
Somehow he has that pressure. I don't even know what to call it. He's just not himself whenever
it's mental for sure. It's something mental for sure.
It's gonna be fun. Olympic games are always fun.
Oh yeah.
My bet is a Germany US final. And the US is the final winner.
Really?
That's my bet. Yeah.
I mean France, man.
I think Germany will be there.
France got them two towers, bro. Wimby's different.
France is there.
Yeah, he's also really good.
Wimby is different. So I definitely like where the game is going, bro. It's. I mean, players are getting better and better, and it's only going to get harder from here, honestly. You know, there's more Europeans in the league now than ever before, and it's only going to continue to grow.
Yeah, for sure.
And so France is at home, you're right. France is at home. They're playing at home, so it's also a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think this is kind of what we planned, unless you guys have something else. I don't know.
I think on my side that's all.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, man, I had a blast, bro. I had a blast, man. I appreciate you.
I think we went through it all. And yeah, thank you again for coming. And we're going to be rooting for Falco. If you need, hey, this guy over here, Levy, if you need the best spots in Budapest, he'll be right there all season. You can always catch him.
Yeah, I live in Budapest, yeah.
Hey, G, I'm definitely trying to visit your restaurant too, bro. I need to get that breakfast.
Man, it's closed. We closed down. Yeah. It was my sister was doing. My sister was doing, and she has babies now. So she has. I don't know why her priorities changed. I don't understand, but she made a decision. She said, "Kids, no restaurant."
Yeah, I ain't mad at her. Do you guys still have the? Do you still have the sauna?
Yeah, we have the guest house. Yes.
We're going to have to talk. We're going to have to talk about that because I need to make a trip, brother.
Just hit me up.
Yeah, thank you for making time for us and thank you for being here. Thank you for accepting our invitation. So yeah, it was good to have you here. Make sure to follow us. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, X, where we are also, Gigi. Did I say
everywhere? Oh. Yeah, YouTube. Yeah. All major platforms, man. We're everywhere. Spotify.
Hey,
Spotify.
Worldwide with it.
first English episode in the books, and we're gonna. I hope we have you back soon.
Yeah, anytime, man.
After y'all go as far. Yeah, y'all go far in this Champions League. Right?
Anytime, man. I appreciate you, Levy. Appreciate you, Zeke. Hope you guys have a rest of your good day, man.
All right, man.
Thank you for being here. Ciao. Have a great day,
bye, man.
Bye.